This morning's public reading comes from Luke chapter 6 this morning. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 6. And we have verses 27 to 36 here this morning. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that asketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Please be seated, and may God bless his words. Well, beloved, it is quite evident that Jesus' demands seem to be truly outside of anyone's capability. If you look at these commands, these vignettes, these nuggets of truth that fell from his lips, you got to admit that it goes against everything that is within you and I. For instance, when it comes to our enemies, the natural tendency is to what? Subdue your enemy, get rid of your enemy, liquidate the enemy. When it comes to lending, you want your money back, right? So you're only going to lend to people that you know have the means to pay you back. Would you give something to someone that you know 100% you're not going to see what you gave them at all? So it goes against the grain. Now, these are admonishments that are given to you and I individually. For instance, verse 35 is not something given to a nation that has been attacked by an enemy. Okay? Like Pearl Harbor, 9/11, for instance. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. Okay, this is not talking at a national level. These are words given to individuals and how you and I are to respond as Christians in a very hostile world. Beloved, the world is very hostile towards God, towards the scriptures, towards the church, but above all, when it comes to something that you can see and touch, the world hates you. If you're truly a believer and your light is very bright and your salt is very salty and you're very bold in your confessions, very, very assured in what you believe and why, they're not going to like you. They're not going to like being around you. Because again, that light is too bright and that salt is too salty. Your saltiness aggravates and burns them. Gets them hot under the collar. And so how are we supposed to respond in a world that is so hostile? Well, verse 27, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Paul talks about heaping hot coals on someone's head. You'd be surprised how a person who is mean and angry and always against the world, and you come across with a good deed or a kind word or even a meal, and you can see that hot air just comes out of their sails. Their sails just go limp when it comes to their anger and their envy and their jealousy and their desire to do you harm. That's been testified in 2,000 years of church history when God's saints were under the gun and they were being persecuted. How they treated their persecutors, even in the midst of being persecuted and being tortured. How noble God's saints behaved in front of their captors and their tormentors, to the point some of the first, second, third century writings of Christians that were being tortured by their torturers, how the torturers were converted to Christ and eventually joined them in the arena. They were simply overwhelmed, compelled by the demeanor and the behavior of these saints, looking at a lion there in the arena, or looking at a cross that they would soon be suspended upon. Just this nobleness about them. Talks about, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. Now, verse 29, everyone likes to take verse 29 out of its context. I've even seen people, or you see movies or even heard of events where some mean person walks up to a person he knows is a Christian and smacks him across the face and says, okay, Christian, your book says turn me the other cheek. And in many instances, that Christian did turn the other cheek. And so now he has two black eyes. And so what did the mean man solve? Then you have those who say, well, after the second punch, Christ gives me no further admonishments. Now I'm on my own. You have some people who don't believe in self-defense, and they'll run to a verse like this. Well, beloved, you do have the right under God to protect life and limb. Okay? You have a right to protect your life. Now, if someone smacks you across the face, and you want to give them the other one, after that second one, my dear friend, your life may be in dire peril. At that point, you need to protect yourself. You need to protect your family from anyone that would break and enter into your home to do bodily harm. Rape your wife, rape your daughter, sodomize your son. You have a right to protect your home. So those who are, you know, avowed pacifists love to run to a verse like this, take it out of its context. Where even Jesus had a minor discussion amongst his own 12 on how many swords they needed. And what did Jesus say? Two was enough. Now, yes, he scolded Peter for whacking the man's ear off, but at that point, Jesus had to be turned over. His hour had come. But nonetheless, even Jesus' holy band was armed with two swords. Verse 36, though, is the capstone. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. And yet in another venue we're told, be ye holy, for your Father in heaven is holy. So notice that when it comes down to the bottom line, are we a holy people? And that's H-O-L-Y. Are we a sanctified people, a people who strive to conform ourselves to the holy character of God? And are we a merciful person? I think the main thrust in all of these admonishments or all of these vignettes is the mercy of God. You know something? You have stories, even in the heat of battle, in a legitimate war to defend one's country, even in the heat of battle, there have been noble accounts of Christians facing their enemy with guns drawn, or a Christian coming across a wounded enemy and versus plunging his bayonet into that person's chest, bending down and offering him a drink from his canteen of water. That's the concept here, the idea of being merciful. God is merciful. God is so merciful to us that in many instances, out of his patience and forbearance, he holds back much of the judgment that we rightly deserve. And that's mercy. Mercy is holding back, okay, what we truly deserve. Grace is given to you and I what we don't deserve. But mercy is when God condescends out of pure compassion and simply holds back what we rightly deserve. In this case, it would be judgment, the just judgment of God. And so, beloved, if you ever want to know how to treat the other side, here's a good portion to read. But I will admit, if all of us would be honest, it's very hard in our flesh to comply with any of these. And that's why we need God the Holy Spirit to be the one working in us, stirring it up and working it through us. Because these are monumental tasks that Jesus demands. And the natural man, the natural flesh, doesn't go this route. Just the opposite. And there's further proof that what Jesus was offering was not something that he borrowed from another man, but this is actually the very mind and heart of God expressed from the lips of the Savior. Well, may his word ever be praised.